You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
There is no offseason for volunteering. We're asking the best fans in the NFL to make a difference by volunteering 10 hours in your local community. Take the Cleveland Browns First and 10 pledge today. Visit clevelandbrowns.com to learn more. It's a Wednesday. That means it's a mailbag Wednesday, and that means to tweet us at Browns_daily using the hashtag mailbag. Or you tweet me at VICCARUCCI, same thing. Use that hashtag. Or Michael Regei, same thing. Michael Regei filling in for Nathan Zagura today, and we are going to give you, we hope shortly, the head coach of the Browns, Mike Pettine, when he addresses the media as the team gets off the practice field for day number two of mandatory minicamp. We're going to have Buster Skrine join us at about 2 p.m., and then right around 2:30, Ron Jaworski of ESPN. So yesterday, Coach Pettine addressing the media. Michael, you heard the comments that he made.
Yeah.
Interesting. I think the common theme, and the one that I'm sure he's going to get asked more about today too, is all about Johnny and the Johnny behavioral question. I don't know how many more ways Mike Pettine can say, I'm not concerned. It's not a problem. It's not a big deal. I'm okay with what's going on. And again, I'm not sure what the expectation is in asking him this, as if what's the cause and effect here, other than pictures on social media, on Twitter, Instagram, whatever. Other than that, I'm not sure what the point is in trying to get the head coach to comment on this, because we haven't seen there are things that happen that players do that absolutely head coaches have to be upset about because they affect football. I don't see what this is affecting.
Let me say this. Mike Pettine is a far better man than I, Vic Carucci, and I'll tell you why.
You're a pretty good guy.
Well, thank you. I try to be. I mean that, though, in the light that I would have completely lost it by now. Because, as you said, how many times can the head football coach state that it's not criminal, it's not something of any type of police matter, and we are not going to micromanage our players' time off? So I've grown a little bit tired and a little bit weary of the questions, Vic, and I looked up at some of the national networks that closely follow the NFL on the TV side today, and of course, it's all over the screen again. You know, how is Mike Pettine? Is Mike Pettine handling the Johnny Manziel away from camp time properly enough? You know, let's talk football. And Vic and I said this to one another earlier, and we kind of smiled at each other before we started the show. If there are failures or some negativity or some days that don't go well for Johnny Manziel on a practice field, and in 6 weeks when the Browns get to training camp, it's not going to be because he decided to go to Vegas or go hang out and go get together with his friends and this and that. It's called the NFL. And that means that I'm sure Johnny Manziel knows the competition level and the need for urgency. Vic, it's been ratcheted up about, 100-fold since he last left the Texas A&M program? I think he's a smart young man. I think he realizes that. So, you know, let's pour over what he's doing on the football field. Because none of the other stuff means a damn thing or has anything to do with how he's performing or not performing.
No, he's struggling on the field.
He struggled a little bit, yeah.
I think he struggled a lot yesterday, maybe a little less at times today. I think those struggles are exactly what you said. Those struggles are that of a rookie quarterback trying to find his way, and it's a hard way to find. I mean, you are learning an entirely different way of playing ball from the way you did in college. That is how it does work in the NFL. And all the stuff that made him what he has been at the collegiate level, the Johnny Football persona that he had, that will come into play at some point, but it doesn't come into play in these practices where you're working with a scripted set of plays, when you're looking, and each day you're learning something new is being installed, the verbiage, the design, everything is different from everything that this kid did before, and he's, I think, grasping some of it. I think a lot of it is flying over his head. I think he's working at getting there, and the fact that there are pictures of him on an inflatable swan does not mean that that's the difference between him understanding or not understanding what this offense is. This guy could be in church choir practice every weekend. He'd still be having these issues because those are the issues you have. You see it from Connor Shaw. You see it from – you know, it's not like he is – falling behind because he's not putting any effort into trying to get ahead with it. And the other thing is Brian Hoyer is looking exactly the way a veteran quarterback should look
he's
under these circumstances.
Look better.
He is, and I think he's doing the separation thing.
As he should. The word that I know, you know, you get asked all the time. I get asked all the time when we're away from here and we encounter you, the fans, and love the conversations we have with you, whether it's off the air or on. Is Manziel, how does he look? How is he doing this and that? And how is it compared to Hoyer? The word I use is that definitively, Vic, definitively you can see the Hoyer grasp, the understanding, and the readiness at this point on the 11th of June is further advanced than Johnny Manziel. Doesn't mean it's going to be that way and at the end of August as the final preseason game is played. We're going to have to find out. And that's what I think the next 6 weeks, too, Vic, when there will be away from football, that'll be very crucial for Johnny Manziel. You would hope that everyone, not just Manziel, that everyone, when a rookie, young player trying to make the roster, young players trying to impress this coaching staff, make strides. And, you know, now we've come through what? This is the last 4 weeks of OTAs, mini camps, rookie camp, and now the final mandatory mini camp. So you got to have guys now that coaches are going to expect everybody when they come back in July 25th or 26th, there better be some strides made, and guys that have a clearer understanding, right, of what they're expected to do as they are today and tomorrow as they wind it up.
Well, I think it's going to be a very difficult stretch here because these 6 weeks are regardless of how this works in terms of how much time he can spend looking at, say he spends every minute, every waking minute of 6 weeks, he's not going to, no player is, looking at his iPad, looking at studying the tape and looking at the plays and all that. It's 6 weeks where he's not practicing. It's 6 weeks where he's not throwing routes. It's 6 weeks where he doesn't have an offensive line working in front of him. It's 6 weeks where he does not have coaches working with him. They're on vacation. They're gone. This is shutdown time. Mm-hmm. And, yes, I think there's great concern, especially if you're a football team like this one that has any notion. And this is why the realities of trying to count on a rookie to be your guy, why you are – taking the steepest of challenges, because that's where he's going to suffer setbacks. Even the veterans will too, because they will come back at the start. I'm talking setbacks that will come just from inactivity.
Yep.
Coming back in July for camp, what does it look like then? I would be stunned if it looks great, because you've missed the time that you're getting now isn't enough time. Mm-hmm. This day and then tomorrow, and then that's it. There's very limited. The rules of this game, the rules of the CBA, do not provide anywhere near the sufficient amount of teaching time that young players need to get better at this game. And every coach will tell you that, but that's the structure, and it's true for every team in the league. So ask a rookie to be your guy and step out there and do things. Yeah, that's foolish to think that he is going to be everything you want him to be. That doesn't mean you won't do it and teams won't push rookies out there. It won't mean that he won't find something that he can have success with in terms of his skill set. But to be the quarterback he wants to be the guy who can run every aspect of this offense and understand it cold, he is many, many miles from that.
And I would
as he
hope,
should be.
Yeah, and I would hope that even the most of the staunchest Johnny Manziel supporters, guys, gals, I hope you understand that. This is a period that is not going to allow him to just jump off the page and start to replicate what he was doing 2 years ago while winning a Heisman Trophy and even last year in a very high-octane Texas A&M offense. It's the NFL isn't going to allow for that. And so the message, I guess, from us, try to keep that in mind. I mean, it's something that is going to take some time for this to develop, regardless of what if his skill set is adjudged to be over the top and one that Kyle Shanahan can mold and hone and make absolutely so, very productive in this offense. So it's something that's got to be kept in mind. I don't expect it to come to light this August, July and August, late July and August, Vic. I don't.
No.
Now, if it does, it'll be great. And then the Browns, then they're going to have to make decisions. And then now, what does every coach always say? We want everybody – make our decisions hard. Decide, players. You decide if you play or not, not us. Our decisions hard.
If you want a reason why this coaching staff can have any good feeling whatsoever about this offense going into the season, because right now this team's all about defense, and if you had to – pinpoint one area for optimism for the Cleveland Browns, you start there, of course. You start there. And as far as the offense is concerned, it's not because they're thinking we're going to have a great quarterback situation coming into the season with any of these guys. No, it's the running game. And that's really what they're hanging their hat on. If there's any sense of comfort or optimism or whatever that feeling is coming out of this camp, heading into training camp, coming out of this mini camp and then shutting it down, and then what do you have to look forward to in training camp? There it is. It's the running game. That is Terrence West. That is Ben Tate. And God bless him to have that in place. In terms of anything else, from a passing standpoint, from a quarterback standpoint, it's a work in progress. I do think that you're seeing some progress with Brian Hoyer. As I said yesterday, he did some separation. He's throwing the football with greater authority. He's showing the knowledge that he has. He definitely has much more of a feel for everything offensively or from the quarterback position, better than any other quarterback on this football team, and especially Johnny Manziel. There are certain plays you can't run with Hoyer that I think you can run with Manziel when they run those option. They practice those read option plays.
Yep.
Obviously, number two does those the best. He should. But that's not the basis of what this offense is. The basis of this offense is having someone who's going to, again, primarily work from pocket, primarily he'll roll out, he'll move, he'll bootleg, but he'll make plays from play action, and it's the selling of that play action that is going to do the most, I think, to open things up and also to have a convincing running game that makes play action sellable. We are hoping and very soon to have the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Mike Pettine, come up to the podium, and we do this little awkward stall for time thing because the practice ends. We're getting, you know, our studio is up in the middle of the building, and then they communicate with us from the field. So practice is wrapping up, and our producer, Matt Fontana, back in the studio, and then Jason Gibbs is down on the field, and between the two of them, we have these conversations going on. So we hope it's only momentarily that Pettine, usually the routine is they finish practice, and these practices go a little bit longer than the ones that were happening in the OTAs because the NFL collective bargaining agreement allows these mini camps to be longer, players to be on the field longer by rule. So Pettine is literally, we're getting the blow-by-blow, walking over to the podium. And when he finally reaches, and I don't think he sprints over. I think he kind of saunters. He's more of a saunter kind of guy.
Mike's a little more deliberate.
He's deliberate in his steps. Yeah. So when he gets over to the podium, swagger. He's got that swagger,
too. He does.
He gets over to the podium.
Just like he wants his players to have.
Exactly. Yeah. We get the heads up, and we're going to bring him to you. And, Matt, is he coming up right now? Okay, let's throw it to Mike Pettine.
Questions for Coach Pettine?
How are you, Coach?
Good.
Hey, hey, Tom. Things got a little testy there.
It's probably a good word. I talked about it afterwards. That we're all wearing the same logo, but I always use the phrase competitive, not combative, and that line gets crossed every now and again. But I also think that's a byproduct of what we're trying to build, the mentality. So it's something that I think that it happens as a coach. You frown on it, but at the same time, it's something that you understand. It might be the price of doing business.
Is it the second time we've seen Gilkey involved in something like that? Is it a pattern? That's
probably an accurate interpretation. There's some guys that are maybe more apt to get involved with it just by the nature of their how they play.
That seemed to go pretty far. Did that test the limits?
Yeah, that was one that's especially, I think there might have been, because Gilkey's hair, I think there might have been a hair pull or two at the end. I think that's why it took a while to get it broken up.
What kind of player is Gilkey, you think?
he's had a good camp for us. He'll be right in the mix and competing for that guard job. We talk about competition at all positions, and that's a good example. That'll be in there with Greco, McQuiston, some of those names fighting for those inside jobs.
You're dealing with more difficult transitions to make an offensive lineman, especially at a small school like he played.
It is. I think he's handled it well, but that is tough for a guy that hasn't gone against that level of competition. But he's been solid. The coaches have been very pleased with his progress so far.
So is McQuiston primarily a guard at this point?
I see McQuiston as a swing. So he's shown that he can play. I don't know if he could play center, but I think we'd be comfortable at any other position. But I don't want to just kind of pigeonhole him as, hey, he's a backup and we're just going to use him as a swing guy. He's capable of starting, and he'll compete for a starting job. But he's also shown the versatility that he can play some other spots.
On the offensive line, with the two first-rounders and two second-rounders available to you there, and, you know, you're trying to sort through that the guard thing with one other guy, I mean, you could make a case that this should migrate into an elite offensive line. Can it be, and what would it have to happen for?
Well, we're hopeful. I mean, I think it's a good combination of guys, different styles. I think they'll perform well in the system. I think the system will help them. I'm very fortunate to have been to hire an Andy Moeller and a George De Leon. I think two of the better guys, well-respected offensive line coaches in the business. And I feel like with George that we actually have a second lead coach. So I know they split up and do a lot of work separately, you know, centers and guards and tackles alone. So I feel that group's in good hands.
Mike, could you assess Justin Gilbert's progress at this point?
He's on the learning curve. I think he's kind of put himself in some situations where he's testing his ability to make up. I think a lot of corners will I don't want to say play scared, but they'll stay on top and they get beat underneath a lot. I think the elite guys can let a guy get slightly past them, but know with their makeup speed and their length that they can still make a play on the ball. So I think that's what this time is for him, is kind of testing his limits and getting used to the speed of the NFL game and NFL receivers.
You're kind of a cornerback guy, too. Wherever you've been, two press corners have been important. Why is that, and why do you feel that they're cornerstones in your defense?
Well, the one rule that's truly in favor of the defense is the ability to make contact within the first 5 yards. And I think any time that you're giving the offense what we call free access into your secondary, I think you're doing them a favor. So it's always been our mindset that if we can get a chance to roll up on our guy and impede his release, and a lot of the passing attacks we go against are rhythmic or based on timing, that we feel that it's in our advantage anytime we can be disruptive that way.
How much can Aaron Glenn teach those guys?
Aaron's done a tremendous job so far, he and Bobby Babich. I've noticed in the short time that Aaron's been here, just that our guy, that their technique, their footwork especially, that's critical for those guys to have, that their footwork just becomes second nature to them, that they don't have to think about it. And they've already shown significant progress in that so far.
The quarterback thing, how much of an advantage does it give your defense if you have corners who can match up one-on-one?
It's a huge advantage. You just look at the math of it. If you can allocate two corners to two receivers as opposed to having a roll a guy over the top and waste an extra DB on top of a receiver, I think just from a math standpoint, I mean, it's football, when you break it down, a lot of stuff is based on math. You're trying to get the maximum number of defenders at the point of attack, and when you can just trade, you're just trading one for one, that's a positive thing. Yeah, I think that does put us a little bit behind with the uncertainty of what that lineup's going to look like. But we wanted to be prudent with Miles and Earl's taking some quality reps. Burleson's just working his way back in. We're hopeful that when we get to training camp, you know, we get Travis Benjamin back, we get Charles Johnson, we get a chance to see what he can do. That hopefully we can settle on a lineup quickly and develop some chemistry with the quarterbacks.
Is there anything you can say about Gordon today?
No, there's no additional update there.
Will he be, no, I mean in terms of not being on the field.
No, he has a he just has a minor ding. He just he won't go tomorrow either.
So him standing around has nothing to do with
nothing.
It's a
yeah. No.
Is it fair to say that you led the charge to pursue a cornerback in the first round?
No, I don't want to say led the charge. I think Ray and I are very much on the same page as far as what we're looking for. He understands the defense conceptually. So when what we did as a staff is provided for the scouting department a generic list of player rankings, like quarterback being the most important position on offense, left tackle more than likely the second, defensively an elite corner number one, an elite pass rusher number two, and ranked the positions, just no names attached, just generic if we were just picking by position only. And I thought that was a worthwhile exercise, and I think that helped him understand what we were trying to get done. And so he knew it was an important thing, and that when we talk about players on the board, where they get sequenced, that will have an effect on the sequence, where a quarterback might get pushed up a little higher, a corner might get pushed up a little higher versus maybe a guard or a tight end, just due to the value of the position. Yeah, I think all those Hawkins for sure. But I think some of those other guys, you saw Shaw make some plays today. Willie Snead was doing well till he had a minor injury that's kept him out. So I think that's a good young group, and I think that's the plus side of having those guys out, that it really gives us a chance to hopefully find a diamond in the rough with some of those other guys.
What specifically do you like about Hawkins?
Short area quickness, the ability to get in and out of breaks. There was a play today where the defense was called. The coverage was 51 double, which meant double him. And he still got open. So that's when Kyle was got after O'Neal a little bit, said, you're going to have to put three on him. But he's a guy that can win in the slot. And I think it's important that if you have a guy that can win at tight end, and we think Jordan can be that guy, and when you can win in the slot, that causes some issues defensively when you have to now allocate maybe two defenders to the slot receiver as opposed to one. It goes back to the math problem. You can only allocate so much. And when you've seen passing attacks over, and certainly something that Brian's used to, but you see passing attacks over the course of football, a lot of times the third receiver, in some people's opinion, is more important than the other outside receiver.
I don't know if it's too early to ask this, but is there any conversation going on with Shanahan about incorporating both quarterbacks in the regular season?
No, it's too early. That conversation will occur, but it's too early at this point.
Is it kind of special to have your dad here watching practice today?
It is. We had he's been watching some of the practice tapes, so we had Italian conversation this morning before practice. He, I, and Coach O'Neal. But it's great to have him here. I mean, it's just another guy that can, not necessarily who's that immersed in the scheme, but I always say it's nice to get the 30,000 foot view sometimes, instead of when you're deep in it, where he can make some comments. And a lot of times I tell him it's sometimes how you say it, how you package it. Usually the content's accurate, but sometimes my defenses go up when he delivers the message the way he delivers it.
This is a question about whether Hoyer, being as intense as he is out there sometimes today, is putting a lot of pressure on himself. Do you feel that you need to get the message to him, hey, look, relax as best you can, don't put too much pressure on yourself, even though this is a
good chance? No, I don't think you really want to mess with a guy in that way unless you see it becoming an issue where a guy's just pushing too hard. But if that's what, if that voice inside of his head is what drives him, and that how he wants to compete and push himself, and that works for him, then I don't think, I think we'll leave him alone.
I just saw one play where he was really pissed that there was an incompletion that he thought should have been a completion, and that kind of led to the question.
Yeah, I mean you'll see most quarterbacks when they miss a throw, don't walk away from it feeling real good about themselves.
You make your dad sound like the original blunt force trauma.
I learned from the best.
What about Gilbert and Hayden? What do you see about the two of them together? Hayden teaching
Gilbert. He is. I think Joe's done a really nice job of taking not just Justin, but I think that whole room of corners under his wing. that's the room that I think we changed the most dramatic changes as far from a depth standpoint, the ability to add Trufant, Gilbert, Desir, Aaron Berry, and supplement Joe that way, and he's been great with those guys. Every coach is meeting between now, and they've already started, but between now and the end of the week, they're going to get with their guys and meet with them and talk about exactly that. So it's every player on the roster. Here's where you are. Here's what you need to work on. Here's going to be the plan for you in training camp and hopefully down the road.
Can you tell us specifically about Justin?
I think it'll be more technical stuff. That I think there's maybe some concepts that he's a little bit more familiar with, maybe because he's played them before, but some of the things that Coach Halfley and the rest of that crew think he needs to work on specifically.
And what was your reaction to Manziel being drafted by San Diego?
My first question was I didn't really even realize that he played baseball. I think it was back in high school, and I didn't even get a chance to talk to him about it. I don't know. It was just when I heard it, somebody texted me about it, and I didn't think it was that big a deal because I know the kids die hard football, so it was a bit of a surprise, though.
NFL teams don't waste draft picks.
No.
There's another guy, though, who's pretty die-hard.
Yeah, true.
Die-hard football who found a way to play two sports.
To me, if he had been a standout college baseball player and was doing both, but if you talk to him, and I know probably somebody's waiting next to me. Well, we would talk to you if you let us. But I'll answer for him that he's football through and through.
Did he take any step that you noticed from yesterday to today, Manziel?
I'd have to look at the tape because a lot of times I'm not concentrating on the though I'm standing behind the offense, I'm usually looking at what's going on the other side from a mechanic standpoint. So there were some things that flashed, and I'll get a better feel once I get in and get a chance to watch a tape.
Coach, I heard you say this on the radio. A
couple more questions, please.
You're talking about Josh Gordon, and you have noticed maybe that there are times where he doesn't hustle back to the huddle or whatever the case may be. Have you noticed things like that about him? Do you need him to step it up when he's healthy?
No, that's something I think he's made progress with, but it wasn't just him, and I think that's one thing that we stressed to our guys when we came in is that we want to finish, and that's a big part of making sure whether it's a receiver catching a ball, or the defensive line when the ball is thrown, turning and running, or the offensive line when a ball is thrown, covering down the field, and we just kind of have our own, each position kind of has its own little definition of what finish is, and that's something that he's improved on, but just like some other guys, that there's some room for more improvement.
Got time for one last question over here, Coach Zach.
Mike Hawkins didn't make it his first two or three tries here. Does that shine through? Do you appreciate the guys like that? I guess appreciate when they do, when they get in a role where they get a chance to shine, like you might have here.
Yeah, and it's a credit to his perseverance, his mental toughness. I think there are some guys that would have packed it in and said, hey, maybe this isn't for me. But he was confident in himself, and he knew that if the circumstances were right, that he would get a chance to shine, and that's he's been. If you had to rate our players as from in the spring, he'd be right near the top.
Great, thanks everybody.
Thanks, Coach.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, Head Coach Mike Pettine addressing the media after today's mandatory minicamp practice. Lots to digest there. We'll get into what Mike Pettine talked about. We also want to get into your questions, the ones that you're submitting via Twitter. At Browns_daily, at Vic Carucci, at Michael Regai, using the hashtag mailbag. Because why? It's Wednesday, and it's Mailbag Wednesday. That's what we do on Wednesdays right here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.